29 forever, Humboldt, April 6, 2018. It's been a year.
Sad anniversary.
It is. Last night was the year, was the 1 year anniversary memorial service.
Yeah.
29 individuals were on that bus, 29 families affected, and a whole community affected.
All of Western Canada. Those kids came from everywhere. They came from all over Saskatchewan, Alberta.
And April 7th is Green Shirt Day for Logan Boulay. His death, he donated 6 organs, saving 6 lives. So April 7th will forever be Logan Boulay, the Logan Boulay effect. For his contributions and his sacrifice. For those of you that feel so inclined, please sign up to be an organ donor, bone marrow donor, anything like that. It's a small piece at the time, but it can save lives.
Great cause.
So transitioning here, we are going to exercise 29 seconds of silence. We ask that... those of you listening, don't fast forward or skip. Take in the 29 seconds and remember that whether you're from California, British Columbia, Colorado, Florida, Ontario, or anywhere, and you've ever spent any amount of time traveling with your hockey team on a bus, that you take in those 29 seconds in remembrance that we are all Humboldt Broncos, and we are all Humboldt strong.
Never forget. God love you, boys.
Welcome back to War Room, the hockey podcast. Today, wonderful day, wonderful topic. We're talking women's hockey with Nancy Wilson. She's a tremendous ambassador and builder for the, not only the game, but for women's hockey. Tremendous resume. She's a tremendous friend of the podcast, a friend of the family. She's absolutely wonderful. 1999 and 2007 Air Canada Cup gold medals. 2007 Four Nations Cup gold. 2008 Women's World Championship silver. From 2008 to 2011, she was the coach for the UBC Thunderbirds. She also was with the BC Breakers and Vancouver Griffins in the early 2000s. She was an assistant coach for the Langley Hornets. They're the Langley Rivermen now, but at the time, the Langley Hornets of the BCHL. And her assignment after that was being a coach and mentor in 2013 in Kazakhstan to grow the game on a more worldwide large scale. And she is also, and this is the big one, she is also the first female to be inducted into the BC Hockey Hall of Fame. So it's going to be great talking with her and having her on. So anyways, not much to talk about today, women's hockey and Humboldt Broncos. So we're going to leave space for that. So I hope you all enjoy our conversation with Nancy Wilson, and I hope you take it in. Again, thanks for tuning in. War Room, the hockey podcast on social media for you to find, and we appreciate the support. Enjoy.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Anytime we can talk hockey, it's good.
Not a way. Knew we could count on you. I pardon my raspiness this morning. I missed curfew for some reason, and I'm having a little trouble. So
there's a lot of that going around.
Yes. Hey, we've been talking about the women's game here for the last couple of weeks. And of course, there's been a lot of that in the news recently with the issue over the CWHL and speculation of what's going to happen. We know that you've got vast experience with this segment of the game, and so we just want to get your take on several different areas of both your experience and what you're seeing now and what you're seeing coming up in the future. So,
well, it's obviously a hot topic in the sports news these days. And, you know, I know a number of the players many players are very disappointed that the CWHL has folded. But, you know, when you look back at the kind of the history of our game, it's been kind of like this since the start. And I think Haley Wickenheiser said it best when she said, you know, one step back, maybe two forward, because I think in the end, we will, in the end, I think it's going to be good for the game. You know, professional sport for women, hasn't really been around for a long time. It's, no. You look at any sport, whether it's the, you know, the, tennis or the women's national basketball leagues, the golf, I mean, have only started really over the last 30 some odd years, and hockey's really no different. It we've been playing it for a long time, but it really hasn't been organized for that long. We haven't been playing on a national world stage for very long, so there are going to be hiccups along the way. I think that the best idea is to have one league. We need to get the NHL involved. We've been trying to kind of piecemeal this together regionally. We started the Western Women's Hockey League back in 2004 with Calgary, BC, a couple of actually teams in Alberta. We had Minnesota involved in that time. But the geography was too great and the pockets weren't deep enough to really support that kind of a league. And so and then it morphed into the CWHL. But they're structured as a nonprofit organization, so their growth is really limited in terms of paying the athletes. So I really think that Jaina Hefford is a great ambassador for that league. She speaks well. I think that there's a bigger plan in place. And there's no doubt in my mind that the game is here to stay. You look at the Olympics, you look at national championships, world championships, and the arenas are packed. It's a good brand of hockey that people will pay to watch, but we can't water it down. So there's no doubt in my mind that the NWHL now is contacting the better teams in the CWHL, see if they want to play. So that's how we're going to grow the game. But we need to get sponsors involved. We need to give an opportunity for our better players to do this for a living. I think the best idea is to be franchise owned. But the owners need to be prepared to spend more money. And that's in my view, how we're going to grow the game. But you know, when you look back at the history of our game, it hasn't been there that long, and we're growing really in the same manner that the men's teams did from the senior leagues. That's where women's hockey started, and but now Hockey Canada, the International Ice Hockey Federation, they have done a fantastic job of growing the game on an international level. So I don't know, it was kind of a long-winded answer, but I really think that it's just going to take some time. And I know there are a lot of disappointed players, but I think in the long run, this is going to be a it's going to be the best decision that will was made.
Well, I know the I hear the NHL wants to get involved, but they don't want to as long as there's still a league out there. So,
Well, there can't be the several league approach,
right?
Right. And that might happen down the road where we have divisions, but. It's my understanding that the NHL owns the name WNHL. So I think that they're prepared for that. And I think that's where the discussions are. So
this is likely to be, for one, excuse me, this is likely to prompt the NHL, wouldn't you think? I mean, this looks so much to me like the folding of the WHA and the blending of the stronger franchises then into the NHL?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's the same thing. You know, Bill Daly came out and said the NHL will help as soon as it's one league. So I have no doubt that they're going to step forward. I think they want to help. But there has to be a good business plan in place before they do that. There's been talk about this for many, many years. But it's time for us to get our act together and put together a good business plan for this.
You know, Nance, the business side of it, I think, is where the strength of the NHL comes in. Because as what for all the things that Gary Bettman doesn't know about the sport, he does know about the business side.
And
he doesn't make many mistakes there. But
yeah.
And I think that's probably going to be the long-term answer. But when those guys... They know the data. They know that the growth in minor hockey is in the female side. They know the ladies' portion of the sport is growing. They see the viewership numbers that you've been generating from 2010 in Vancouver, from Sochi, and from Pyeongchang. It's always the U.S. and Canada in the gold medal game. That rivalry is as good as anything that you can see in any sport anywhere. And and they know that. They see it just like the rest of us do. So I think
You know, I think you're right. And we had back after the 2006 Olympics, I can't remember who the chair or the president was of the IIHF back then. But he came out, if you recall, and said, if the rest of the countries don't pick it up, we're going to cancel women's hockey at the Olympics. And that's when the WIH, the International Hockey Federation and Hockey Canada got together and formed the Ambassador Program. So, you know, this has been going on a long time where the world has really been trying to help each other, you know, boost the skill level. But every country has great hockey players that want to play professionally. And we've got a number of Finns and Swedish players, Russian players playing in Canada and the United States. So the growth is there. I think the talent is there. We've seen teams like Finland, Switzerland, Sweden, even Russia, Kazakhstan now. These are countries that have improved their game. But, you know, every time they improve, so can Canada, the United States. So, you know, the skill level between the countries is still there, but it's growing ever so slowly. And I think the Ambassadors program that they had was a phenomenal experience, and it shows what the women in sport do when they need to do something. There was no way they wanted it to be canceled from the Olympics. So the Ambassadors program, if you didn't know what happened there, we, Canada and some of the U.S., took the leadership role in bringing together coaches from every team in the world and players from, I think it was two or three players, we met over in Europe, and they came together with this experience. Nobody spoke the same language. We had Russians and French and English speaking kids. The Kazakhstan players were there. Chinese players were there. Nobody spoke the same language, but they're all sitting in the same dressing room. And I'll never forget that first day. Looking at the kids in the dressing room, they're all looking at their feet. But 7 days later, the language barrier didn't matter. They were playing a sport, and the language was hockey.
So you spent quite a lot of time in Kazakhstan.
And they all went. Yes, I was fortunate enough to be selected as the ambassador for Kazakhstan, and you know that was a long time ago, and yet we still stay in touch. They're planning a trip here again, I think next year, but you know it's what the women in hockey have done for hockey to grow the game. So it's been happening for a long time. I think that I really believe that what's happened here recently is a good move. I mean, if you look at where we were at 10 years ago, it was fragmented. And I really see this as being an awakening for the women's game.
What's happening now? What's the hockey culture like in Kazakhstan compared to...
What's a hockey culture like in where?
Kazakhstan. Compared to other European countries or even the U.S. or Canada?
Yeah. They've got deep pockets. They're an oil-rich country, so they're well-funded, but it's not their big sport.
Yeah.
They play a game on ice. I can't even remember what it's called now, but it's played on a football field. it's kind of like lacrosse on ice. It's the most fascinating thing to watch. Wow. I can't remember what it's called, but they play outdoor on a like big soccer or soccer pitch or a football field, and they skate. They're great skaters. They haven't played the game of hockey for a long time. The girls' team is probably at the bottom of Division I kind of level. They fight with teams from China and France. And those kinds of teams to get into the Olympics, but they're doing well. They're improving. They bring Canadians and Americans over to play on their teams. They play in a league with Russia, so they're doing quite well. I haven't been involved for a lot of years, so I really don't know what their skill level is right now. We stay in touch more on a social level. But the culture there, I mean, they get lots of people out to watch. They're very supportive when it comes to the financial side of the business. Skill level, they're not deep in skill.
It takes a while, but with mentors like you, it'll happen. I can't help looking at the game, at least in North America, which is all I really see. And the dominance of Canada and the U.S. across the globe. But I look at the game, I see the growth in women's minor hockey and the growth of developmental teams that 20 years ago it was not anywhere near where it is now, the growth of the sport in university. And this is without a real solid professional league where you can make money playing the game. Imagine... Mm-hmm. And Jaina Hefford has recently been talking a lot about the unsustainable non-profit model. Once there is a professional league where these ladies can get paid for what they do so incredibly well, imagine how much that's going to pull from the bottom up through the age ranks. I mean, it's going to really it has to be a huge boon for the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, girls to date have been really playing because they're passionate about the game.
Right.
We've just got so many more talented coaches and skilled people that are working with teams. Like midget program in Canada is a great program right across the country.
Yeah.
We have sports schools that these kids are going to now. They're pretty costly. They're pricey, but... you know, the girls are on the ice every day now, or they have the opportunity to be. We've got good coaches, Hockey Canada, and through down to the provincial, like BC Hockey. I mean, they do just a really good job of creating outstanding programs
yeah.
for the young players, and that's where it starts.
The commitment has the commitment's huge.
Yeah, and the funding in the game, I mean, it costs a lot of money. If you've got three children and they're all in hockey, you know, it's a substantial financial hit.
Right.
So it's getting more and more expensive. There isn't the ice available for all the kids that want to play the game.
But that's a good thing. That demand is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of it, on the boys' side, minor hockey is struggling to recruit enough kids now. Across Canada, it's really the only growing segment of the game is the women's game.
Well, and why is that? I think that you look at the bantam age groups. I believe that's where most of the boys leave the game because there's a lot of pressure on kids now to be better in hockey. I see the same thing happening on the girls' side. But girls leave the game for other reasons when they reach 14, 15 years old. it has to do with boys and school and just choosing other things.
Yeah.
So I know that years ago when I was involved, the kids that were getting out at the bantam level were getting out because of money. It was cheaper to go into other sports, or their heart just wasn't in it because there was just too much pressure on them.
Yeah.
So
it's where a social life and a life playing competitive hockey, as you know, they don't go well together.
Well, and that's about the age group where you start making those decisions, right?
Right.
Am I really going to stick in here and work as hard as I have to? Because it's a lot of work to get up to the upper end of the pyramid.
Yeah.
Well, how's university hockey in Canada?
One of the best experiences I had in coaching was coaching UBC women's team. It was just a fabulous experience getting up and doing hockey all day and working with tremendous athletes. And the support at UBC was just fantastic. The support from the management, the support in terms of bums in the seat was not there. UBC isn't didn't have a lot of students there that were tuned into hockey, but I think that might be changing ever so slightly. We in Canada, it used to be that when you finished school, what you were looking for was a scholarship to the States, a Division I team in the States. That's not so much the case anymore. University hockey in Canada is very, very good. And a lot of our players now are staying home. Our better players are staying at home. Good coaching. You can stay closer to home. You're working with Canadian dollars, and which is significant for parents.
Absolutely.
So the game has increased in skill, the skill level, and the brand of hockey is much better than where it was. I guess I left there in 2011, and it's the skill level has increased significantly over that period of time. We're just recruiting better, offering better scholarship opportunities, and so the game has the compete in the game has increased in Canada.
It's good
right
to see
the country.
Good to see that Canada University is an option outside of university and. States too, so
mm-hmm.
growth,
mm-hmm.
growth across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have a very unique honor that can never be duplicated. You are the first woman inducted into the BC Hockey Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's quite
an honor, and they've been that's a really, really good program that they have here in BC.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little about that.
Yeah, you know, I remember the day I got the call saying that I had been selected for entry into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I was stunned. What a tremendous honor! I mean, to be in the hall with so many great hockey people, you know, Pat Quinn just is just down the way from me, and just so many great hockey players. So it was just a tremendous honor for me to be the first female. Was very significant. There are other women that are very deserving. There's another woman being inducted this year, Karen Wallace, who without her, she would be, hockey wouldn't be where it's at today, because she really put hockey on the map in BC and then Canada and then internationally. She was the chair of the Hockey Canada. So it's going to be nice to have another woman in there. But yes, thank you very much for bringing that up. It was a tremendous honor for me and my family.
Richly
and,
deserved.
I'm very proud of that.
As you should be.
Thank you.
Well, you're in a small circle, and I know that you go back, but you're there with, you worked so long in the game and have so much history in it, and being in the BC Hockey Hall of Fame, working with, you go back through, you think about Angela James and Haley Wickenheiser and all the greats of your game, and being at UBC and winning gold in 2010, you've got a body of work that's amazing.
I can tell you the first time I met Angela James, I was still playing. It might have even been my last year playing. I was playing with the Edmonton Chimos and had gone back to Ontario for a tournament. And at that time, there was still body contact. You could check. and she hit me in the neutral zone, and I got back to the bench, and I thought, oh my God, like what hit me? And I thought right then the game has changed and I need to get out.
So I have one question that I've been struggling with for years. And I know that I've never seen your side. You've never seen our side. Do you think, just from a pure speculation standpoint, do you think the women's dressing room is as disgusting as the men's?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I used to coach the boys, right? I coached them.
Oh, okay.
HL, yeah. It's worse. Because you add in all the perfumes, and I think it's worse.
Oh,
my husband would say it's worse.
Wow. Yeah. That's going some there.
Yeah.
My wife would beg to differ on that.
Oh. Well, it's been great having you on. Is there anything else that we need to, what else do we need to know?
I think that our game has come a long way. I started playing when I was 12 years old. And at that time, the only team you could play for in all of London, Ontario, was a senior women's team. So I was 12 and everybody else was 25 or older. my parents still allowed me to play. And that's the thing back then, was parents allowing their little girls to go out and play and have their dream, because it wasn't long after that when a young girl and her family took a team to court because she was good enough to remove one of the boys from the team and play on the team. So, and that was, how many years ago, maybe 40 years ago. So we've come a long way, and these little hiccups, we've seen them. We've had opportunities to go and to get paid before. I was remembering a time back in 1977 when a gentleman from New York who was sent by some businessmen out in New York came up to Ontario and wanted to they had a business plan that they wanted to throw out to hockey players in Ontario. And for some reason, I got a phone call from this man. And what they wanted to do was just have a select team from Canada, a select team from the United States play for 6 months, travel between the two countries, and set up a system, a tournament kind of thing, or games similar to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
And they were going to pay significant amount of money for this. But at that time, and it was just, everybody was kind of shaking their head going, is this really happening? but I got some players together. He met with us, and it was, and we saw a contract that I still have actually somewhere. But it was we decided to know that I had just graduated from school, university, and I had three other friends that had just graduated as well, and they were going on to teaching. We had a pro golfer that we had. We had a doctor who was going into med school. So it was, although we were tempted, we weren't going to put our lives on hold for this thing that might fizzle out. So unfortunately that didn't, but you know, there's been little things like that that have happened over the years. This is an, women's hockey is so organized now. We've got young kids that are learning the game. Their skill level is just so great in both countries. The pool of athletes that are coming up are well coached. So this is going to happen. It's just, I think Jane is right. We need to have one league. It needs to be funded by sponsors that are willing to go deep into their pockets. The NHL needs to get on side with the league and help it from a business perspective. And I really believe that the next 10 years in women's hockey is going to be very exciting.
Well, the growth of the game has been noticeable in other areas too, with, because it won't be long before we see the first female official in the NHL, most likely.
Yep.
I think that's just a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what, the sponsorship, the demographic of women's hockey is similar to men's, mm-hmm. but probably stronger. I mean, I think there's, and with that demographic comes the eyeballs that are attractive to sponsors. So when you want to reach that market, a sponsor would be crazy to overlook that growing segment of the game. I don't want to say wealthy necessarily, but it's a very committed segment, and mm-hmm. it's a market that somebody is going to tap into and reach mm-hmm. through sponsorship. Yep. When the sponsors come along, the fans come along, the spiral then goes exactly where it needs to go. And I think it's on the way. I really do.
Yeah. Well, we've got, the NWHL has some really great, sponsors of each team. I mean, the New Jersey Devils are with the, I think they're called the Riveters.
The Bruins,
you know, so, and I think there's a couple of others, maybe Arizona, I think, has sponsored somebody. There's a major.
The Bruins have sponsored the Boston team.
And I think that the Texas Rangers, one of their owners, I think, was one of the first sponsors of the league to throw money in. So, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that I think would be going to be tempted to get involved, and I hope they do. People, they have to step up. I think it's something that is going to grow, and to be involved at this point, I think, is a good business decision.
Well, I guess the question will be, and time will tell, but does the NWHL become the one league, or does it transition to the WNHL with the NHL backing it?
Yeah, that's going to have to, I think those are the discussions, right?
Yeah.
That need to happen.
Happening right now, I believe.
Yeah, I think they're happening right now. I don't think that the CWHL stopped or pulled the pin without something else in mind. So I would imagine the NHL is in talks with them right now.
Yeah.
About this, and the NWHL will be part of those discussions.
Yeah. Well, I know Cassie Campbell-Pascal, that's her name. She thinks mm-hmm. she's a believer that the WNHL is going to be a thing sooner rather than later. So
I mean the NHL didn't grab that name for no reason.
No.
I would imagine that's true, but it'll be interesting to see what happens down the road. I just believe that these are things that are being discussed in the boardroom, and it's the end result will, I believe, will be one league, and I would guess that it's going to be the WNHL.
Yeah,
it's it started that way, though. The NWHL brought in Montreal and Toronto for next year. So it's at least trending in the direction of expansion, if not anything else. So.
I mean, I like the NWHL name. It's been around a long time, but we'll see. It's just a name.
To the credit of the league, the NHL, their franchises, especially the expansion ones in the last generation, have done such a terrific job of sponsoring and building arenas, building places to grow minor hockey, because they started feeding their own system that way. And I believe 100% that those guys, Bill Daly and Bettman and those guys, being really sharp business people, they're going to see the growth of the women's game like we all do, like we talked about a little bit ago. And they're going to see that potential, and they're going to tap right into it with infrastructure, with the support, not just financially, but of management, of franchise ownership. I think they're gonna tap right into that, and it's really going to take off. I think it's a great growth potential, and the upside is going to be soon and abrupt.
Well, yeah, I agree 100%. And it's there right now. If you look at the teams out of Toronto, out of Minnesota, I mean, they have a great young players that are aspiring to be on the Minnesota team. You know, they go away to school and they have a place to come back to play. Like, it's, I believe that, I don't think they can have too many teams. I think it has to start slow, as it did with the NHL. You know, it was a long time before they started expanding into other areas of Canada. I mean, that was our initial problem with the WWHL. We couldn't afford to go to Ontario to play the Toronto teams. We could hardly afford to go to Calgary. What we would do is meet halfway. The geography in Western Canada is just so big.
It's vast.
That it was a financial issue, and that's why we folded. We were breaking even at the end of the game when we went halfway. So Calgary would come and we'd play somewhere like Summerlin or Penticton, and or somewhere in the Kootenays, and then we'd market it in that area.
Yep.
So we'd have the radio, we'd have posters up, we'd, you know, and people would come out from the small towns to watch these two women play. Haley Wickenheiser played for the Calgary team. So we made money, but the travel in the end just killed us.
Yeah, and it does. It still cripples all of junior hockey. Taking a busload of kids and coaches and staff and all the support people every single overnight is an absolute drain on the budget of a team, whether it's junior A, junior B, major junior. It's where the real financial drain is always in the travel.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
The owners have, you know, of our team anyway, they had pretty deep pockets, but after a while, you know, you don't see a return coming back. It becomes a business decision.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good place, a good time for people who are interested and willing and capable within our game to jump into the growth of the women's side. I think there's some opportunity. I was telling Evan a couple of weeks ago, back in the 80s, the St. Louis Blues sold, I believe, Purina sold the St. Louis Blues to Harry Ornest in 1983 for $11 million. If you can imagine owning an NHL franchise for $11 million.
Wow.
And that's at the same time, you probably remember Wild Bill Hunter from Saskatchewan was trying to take the Blues. Then he built Sask Place and was hoping to move the Blues to Regina, or is it Regina or Saskatoon that he was taking them to? And now, you know, these franchises are paying $750 million just for the sake of having a franchise. So that's what I see on a smaller scale on the women's side. Over the next generation, that growth is going to be fantastic.
Yes, it's going to be exciting for sure.
Looking forward to it.
Well, we know how busy you are, Coach. So is there anything else you want to share with us, or should we let you get back to your...
No, I well, thank you very much for the opportunity to chat.
Our pleasure.
I am very excited for the women's game. I think it's in good hands, and I really believe that the next chapter is going to be an exciting one.
Well, you've been instrumental in getting the game to where it is today, and on behalf of all of us, we appreciate that. We have nothing but the highest respect for the builders like yourself. So thanks for all you've done.
Thank you very much. All right. Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time, Nancy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Enjoyed talking with Nancy. Yeah. Enjoyed hearing everything she had to say.
Great perspective.
It was good to kind of sit back and let her talk, let her share, and
absolutely
just kind of take it in. So
that's the whole idea. She's been she's literally been around the world growing the game, long successful body of work growing women's game, growing the game in general.
It's been a pleasure.
Highly respected.
It's been a pleasure getting to know her as well. Getting how great she is with our family and with the community, not only around here in Summerland, but across BC and across Canada with the people she meets and talks to, but also with the game. So yeah,
it's a great ambassador.
She's an ambassador for a lot of things and not just hockey. So it's good to get to know her and have her in your life and have her around. So Nancy, thank you again. We appreciate your contribution, not only to the game, but to this podcast as it grows and it tries to expand. So thank you.
Friend of the show. Thanks, Nancy.
Anyways, War Room the Hockey Podcast, again, can be found on Instagram at War Room the Hockey Podcast. We're also on Facebook. YouTube is coming up here soon. And look for us here next week with a brand new episode. Here in the coming weeks, especially come May, we are going to touch on more of a heavy subject. It's important, I think, to not be afraid to share some vulnerability here in talks with mental health and the importance of that, and not being afraid to ask for help and to communicate and speak with those you love and those that love you. It's important. And it's something that I personally have been dealing with and have been through. And I know from experience the importance of communicating with your loved ones and those around you. So again, quick shout out to that. Please do not be afraid to ask for help. I personally here at War Room, the Hockey Podcast, am willing to offer my shoulder and my ear to listen and to be here for you. If you need any questions or have any questions or need any support, please feel free to direct message me on Instagram for War Room the Hockey Podcast. But we'll get more of that here in the coming weeks. Mental health is a big subject, so
yep.
Look forward to that.
Bell does a great job. Bell Let's Talk Canada annually every winter. So
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So look for at least an episode of War Room the Hockey Podcast, as well as a YouTube segment dedicated to mental health. It's an important topic and it's an important subject. So
yep.
Bring awareness to that. So anyway, thank you so much to Nancy for everything. Thanks for tuning in. War Room the Hockey Podcast comes live every Monday with new episodes. We're not news breaking, but we are breaking the news. So again, thank you, Brad, for joining.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
Always.
We love talking hockey here with War Room the Hockey Podcast. And as we inch here, now that the regular season's over and inch toward the playoffs, it's getting exciting. So again, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Look for us next week. New episode of War Room the Hockey Podcast.
So long from Summerland.
Cheers.